those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From the blogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Bridget.
I'm Qualler.
And our opinions are valid. What are we going to talk about tonight, Qualler? Or this morning?
I mean,
whenever you listen.
Whatever. Yeah.
I don't know.
We're a little late on this week's episode.
Yeah, sorry.
And for that, we are very sorry.
We're sorry.
And we love you.
Yeah. We're sorry, but it's really hard sometimes.
Sometimes.
And you don't know our life, so shut up.
That's what I was.
Jerks.
I was feeling stressed out by my IRL life yesterday, and I told Bridget
You're
that what
in
I...
in real life life.
Right. You just... Shut up. And so I told Bridget that's what I wanted to say the next day at work, is if somebody said, hey, Qualler, is that a TPS report ready? I wanted to say, sometimes I don't do it all at the right time, but... You don't know my life, so shut up!
What's a TPS report?
Office Space, you know.
It's a tight joke. Pants syndrome?
It's a joke. Oh! I don't know. What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about... Every time it's our turn to do the... Oh.
We got ourselves a dog.
Beck and the dog wants to talk about something. Oh, it's me, Beck and the dog.
Okay.
I want to talk about television. What kind of television do I like? Oh, I don't know.
That's enough. We are going to talk about the latest two episodes of Breaking Bad. We're going to talk about Boardwalk Empire, which Bridget and I have been catching up on. We are almost through season one right now.
Spoiler alert. It's great.
It's great.
It's great.
And
well-made show.
We're also going to talk a little bit about some TV news, like Bunheads getting renewed.
I guess that was it.
Got renewed, yay!
And a little peek into the weekend television watching of Qualler and Bridget with CBS Sunday Morning and the McLaughlin Group.
Yeah.
Real
we're
Sports with
coming
Bryant
up with
Gumbel.
This agenda on the fly.
No, we talked about this. Qualler always throws me under the bus. What should we talk about? Should we talk about CBS Sunday Morning? Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay, but we didn't...
Flash forward to us on the podcast.
Okay, okay.
Look, we're going to talk about CBS Sunday Morning. Qualler says,
That was like 2 days ago.
I don't know.
When we discussed talking
we
about...
We discussed it just now, right before this happened.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, I wish we had a microphone to record.
So, okay, weekend television, which includes kind of comfort TV of today, which includes...
Now I'm pouting.
CBS Sunday... I like to categorize things, Bridget. I like to put things in order... In a way that flows for the listeners, that doesn't feel...
OMFG, I'm sorry, but the newsroom is on right now, and there's a chat happening. Doesn't accurately represent the internet post, I'm going to say, like, 2004.
Yeah, Neil is talking to somebody.
It looks like maybe in a chat room.
In a chat room.
And it's always like a lonely room.
In like an AOL chat room.
And you're just like illuminated by like the light of your
right on his desktop computer.
He was using internet lingual like RU
right.
for RU
and screen names.
Yeah.
All right. And so ends our 2-minute hating on the newsroom.
Oh, but we could do it forever.
Well, we will do that.
Oh, like that
weeks.
Douche. What's with his stupid wrist tattoo?
I never noticed that until just now.
Well, I notice it now, and it's stupid.
Oh, I'm Will McAvoy, and I'm resting my wrist on my face, and I'm reading the website Help Me, Rhonda. Trust me, woman discovers her husband's hidden surfing habits.
And I'm
you
just,
know what's
and-
dangerous? Kids, the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell ya.
I like watching the newsroom with no sound on and just imagining. Ooh, that was the ending. That was the ending shot.
Wow.
Him.
That is powerful.
Yeah.
Shit.
Because we don't know what's happening, but I can imagine that.
Well, we'll catch up.
The internet was being spun in a negative way. No, I like watching it without any sound.
Yeah. Let's talk about Breaking Bad.
Okay.
First of all, I want to just point out that we just found it. Thanks to our friends Les Chappell and Cory Barker, just Facebook messaged, posted. What do you call it? I don't know. What would Alan? Here I go again. Alan Sorkin. What would Aaron Sorkin call the internet? I don't know. Facebook. What would he call posting something on Facebook?
He'd probably say, "Did you go on Facebook with your friend Corey?
Yeah.
Are you ever on Facebook with together?
What each of them posted on their walls was a website
saying.
Called. Let me read it here. It's called IsTheShitGoingToHitTheFan.com. And the only thing that's on the website is a question that says, has Aaron Paul tweeted that the shit is going to hit the fan on the next episode of Breaking Bad yet? And then it shows his tweet from today, where Aaron Paul says, Breaking Bad is about to break bad. The darkness is on the horizon. Can you feel it? And the answer is yes. And what I just did, it kind of felt like I was on CNN reading you, the viewer, the tweets.
Right.
What's Twitter saying tonight, Bridget?
I don't know. Let's go to the Twitters.
Let's open up our screen. Let's open up our video screen, video touch screen, and
Dark Raven 666 says, OMG, Breaking Bad rocks. Can you believe this new ep?
Hashtag Breaking Bad. anyway, obviously the last two episodes, some shit has hit the fan in terms of Landry from Friday Night Lights killing another person.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of been the
Landry's
gist of...
Landry's always a killer.
He is always a killer.
Landry's always a killer.
So... You know, the last two episodes, they've both been really good, but I think these are kind of like wheel spinning episodes in ways in that the central big plot point was now they've killed the kid. And
they stole a whole bunch of methyl.
Well, yeah.
That's important.
They got a bunch of methylamine, yeah. Okay. But I mean, it seems like the central moral. Crisis of what's going on, which is, to me, is always kind of the main point of the show, is that this line has been crossed. So, I don't know. In my humble opinion, these have been really good episodes individually, although they haven't, in some ways, they've left me feeling like I want more shit to hit the fan, so...
Really? But it's got to build to that.
I know. I know it does. And it's when it's all done in two episodes.
Can we talk about that expression a little bit? Because that's a gross expression.
Yeah. It is kind of
like,
gross.
Because, like... I meant, like, a ceiling fan, right? Is that what they're talking about?
I don't know.
And then it, like, sprays everywhere.
Yeah, that's gross.
That's what I... That's gross.
Who came up with that?
And why would that ever happen?
I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, Bridget?
About what?
Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's fine. No, I don't know that I would agree that these are wheel spinning episodes that we've seen.
Well, I'm not saying it in a bad way because wheel.
Can I finish?
Sorry.
Can I finish?
Yeah, yeah.
That was me being Eleanor, and you being Pat Buchanan. We're gonna do a lot of bits for you tonight, where we deliver segments about our favorite shows in the characters of.
Should we do our bit for Breaking Bad right
now? Okay, so now we're going to continue to discuss Breaking Bad, but I'm going to do it in a Jesse Pinkman voice, and Qualler's going to do it in a Walt voice. Or should I do Skyler?
Do Jesse.
Okay. Okay. Okay, yo, Qualler, so... Oh, this feels weird.
No, just do it.
I don't think that it was really a wheel-spinning episode, because... I think like a lot of important shit and stuff for Jesse's character like happened, and like he didn't want to kill anyone, so he like we're finally like in the last. Oh, it's too hard. I'm sorry.
No, Jesse.
I'm still Bridget.
Oh no, Bridget. I know what you're thinking and
that
what you're saying.
That doesn't sound like Walter White at all. It sounds like Bane.
That's not like Bane.
Okay, it sounds like Batman.
It's really hard to do a Walter.
That was hard.
Now, listen, Jesse, Bridget, Okay. This bit's not going anywhere.
No.
I think our next bit will be better.
We'll try again, but that was a little taste.
That was
a little bit of a taste.
Weak C minus. D plus probably.
So I think that the last week's episode was really cool because the whole heist that they were able to pull off was basically Jesse's idea.
Yeah.
And I think that we and Mike, I think, has already discovered this, and Jesse is finally starting to discover this, too.
Yes.
That, like...
Waltz is not a train that we want to ride.
Well, not just that, but we don't need Walt.
Yes.
Like, all the good ideas have recently come from Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are a lot of really good moments in the last two episodes where Jesse, because he talks like Jesse, and because we're used to seeing him as kind of a almost comic relief in some of the episodes, in some of the seasons,
yeah,
right, like a side character, kind of the bumbling fool to riding the coattails of Walt's genius, right. It seems like Walt is becoming more and more unhinged, and Jesse is actually kind of coming through the back door, becoming more and more in control. Or at least starting to recognize that, like, Jesse's the one now with all the good ideas. It's not Walt. Right? So
yeah,
Walt was always
kind
of the problem solver, and now Jesse's solving all the problems. Not only is Jesse solving problems, but Jesse is the one with the moral compass. So the problem of doing the heist was that they, you know, Mike had the great line that there are two kinds of heists, the ones that work and the ones that leave witnesses, and so they're trying to think, how can we rob this train without killing anyone? And Jesse's really the one that's concerned with killing anyone.
Right.
And he comes up with this brilliant plan. And then when someone does get killed, when Landry shoots the kid on the bike, which was kind of a chilling...
That was very chilling.
...way to end that episode.
Yeah.
And I love... Okay, so this is what... I think we talked a while ago about Breaking Bad kind of starting an episode with something that seems random, that's like in the future, and then like the episodes build up to that point, and I kind of don't love that, or I grow weary of it, as kind of a gimmick. I really liked what they did with this episode, where they started with the boy on the bicycle or on the motorbike, whatever, dirt, I have no idea, whatever, the kids are riding, big wheel,
whatever it's called. Power wheels.
Out in the desert, and he finds the tarantula. And it starts with that scene, and you're kind of thinking, what does this have to do with anything? And I love that it comes back to that at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Instead of that being something that we have to figure out, like, at the end of the season. So I thought that was actually a really cool thing. And it was a really kind of added to the chillingness of the boy being shot at the end. I don't think it would have been as moving or as effective if we hadn't been introduced to him in the, like, silent... I think it was before the credits, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the cold open.
Yeah, the cold open. That if we didn't have just that few minutes, and he didn't say anything, but it seemed like you got to know him enough. And
it was a little short story. I think that's one thing about the show, that, like, the cold opens are always seem to tell their own little mini-story, which I like. I mean, at least in terms of more recent seasons, I know season two kind of was a different animal, but
yeah. So when this kid gets shot, Jesse seems like the only one who's really all that upset about it. But I think that there have been a lot of really great scenes with Walt, Mike, and
there have been a lot of good scenes with Walt and Mike and Jesse. Those are the three characters,
the three main characters. But like the good scenes where Walt is like no longer thinking things through very well.
Right.
No longer acting as, like, the calculating problem solver. He's letting his emotions, it seems, take over.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Jesse is kind of stepping in as, like, he's solving the problems, and it seems like whenever that's happening, that Jesse-Walt kind of dynamic, Mike, just, like, the looks on his face...
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll give kind of a look to Jesse, where you can tell, like, okay, Mike knows what's going on here.
Right.
Mike recognizes that Jesse is the one coming up with the plans and that Walt is losing it.
Exactly.
So I really liked in the most recent episode when Jesse was like, I'm out too.
Well,
that, I mean, I know we know that he can't really just walk away from him at this point because that would kind of be a...
Right.
Where'd we go from there? But I was happy even momentarily.
See, that's where I kind of felt like it was a little bit wheel spinning because it was like I was really surprised in a good way that he said I'm out in that episode and was hoping that would be kind of the beginning of the end for the partnership.
I still think it will be.
Well, I do too. It just within one episode it felt a little I don't want to say dextery, but a little dextery.
How so?
In that it was kind of like a oh man, something huge is gonna happen. Oh wait, no, it's not.
Like, I see. Kind of so way. Kind of a false start.
Yes, and I recognize that as the season progresses into even into next summer, that the dominoes are starting to fall, and it's more just a I think it's more like a function of we're watching this one week at a time. And I love to kind of parse out the episodes individually and watch them all individually and wait for savor the next episode that comes up. But it's as a total fanboy, I want stuff to happen. So that's why I'm excited that shit's going to hit the fan. Yeah.
I feel like stuff still did happen. I mean, I don't know. I mean, these last two episodes.
I do too. They're obviously.
But I really, and I just love like. I love how much they've made me hate Walt, and it's like, it's become like a bodily, like visceral, feeling for me whenever Walt is on the screen. Like, and like I, but to the point where I'm actually like. Physically, like, I get kind of squirmy, like, and I'm uncomfortable because I just, like, hate him so much.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that they've been able to do that with, I mean, the acting and the character development and the, it's just, I don't have a lot of shows that I obviously enjoy. I enjoy watching a lot of TV and I get into a lot of shows, but there are not that many shows where I get so lost in it as I'm watching it. The way I do with Breaking Bad, that I like, am actually thinking like, about how much I hate Walt when he's on the screen.
Yeah,
does that make sense? Like,
yeah, totally.
I loved when he insisted that Jesse stay for dinner.
I'm not gonna lie, I fell asleep.
Okay.
So I missed that.
Well, Jesse came up. Jesse called him, and he was like, "This thing can't go down without you because they need all."
Yeah.
They need all the methylamine, right?
Yeah, I need to...
You're the one who wanted to talk about this.
I know. I'm having trouble staying awake.
Okay, so they were going to sell the methylamine, their shares, to that other guy. And he was like, well, but what I wanted was the blue stuff off the market. So he was like, I take all of it or there's no deal. And so Jesse called him and he's like, look, this has to happen with you. And it's $5 million. And Walt was like, why don't you come over to my house? And Jesse was like, your house? And so then this is the first time that we realize Walt has no problem infiltrating every area of Jesse's life, right? Even to the extent that Walt goes to Jesse's house kind of as he pleases. We've seen them many times hanging out like at Jesse's house or eating dinner, doing business, whatever, at Jesse's place. This is the first, like, Jesse is just so surprised that Walt wants him to have him over to his house. This is the first time in all their partnership that he's allowed over there.
I think it's the second time he's been to his house.
Okay, but he was surprised that, like, really, you want me to come to your house? Like, so yeah, he's been there, but not, I don't know that Walt has, way that scene played out, it made it seem like maybe Walt hadn't invited him over, but anyway, he gets over there, and Skyler comes home, and he says, stay for dinner, Aaron Paul's, or Jesse's like, what? And, So it's hard to talk to you about it, but
I read about the
scene. It's a great scene because it's so clear how, like, so it seems like in his business, Walt is kind of losing the control that he had. And you can sense that he senses that he's losing control, and so he's becoming more and more emotional when it comes to decision-making, whereas with his family, he seems as in control as ever and still as cold and calculating because that whole, at least I read the scene, he invited him to stay for dinner because he knew that it would turn into a fight with Skylar. He knew that it would be a horrible dinner, and he knew that it could end with him turning to Jesse and being like, see how my family life is totally shit, and all I have is this business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a total manipulator.
But it's like a contrast between how he's still able to manipulate that part of his, like, home life and his personal life and with Jesse, and where he's losing that kind of control, I think, when we're seeing him deal with decision-making in with the meth and the business.
Yeah.
Because if he were still, you know, it seems like he's becoming more and more kind of irrational when he's with the drug trade. So, that's all. His dad was cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Can I, before we move into Boardwalk Empire,
mm-hmm.
can I just say, why does ESPN show the Little League World Series? Why do we care?
I don't know. My friend and I were talking about that just the other day because we were at the gym and it's on at the gym. And I actually feel kind of, like, weird.
It is weird.
And then they'll show these close-ups of, like, these little
boys,
like, faces, and they're, like, you can really see how this game is weighing on them. It's intense concentration. And then they're in the dugout, horrible. And, like, they're all taking it seriously, and it's, like, there's, like, a kid in the dugout, and he's all, like, hunched over, and, like, looks like he might as well be, like, chewing.
Right.
And, like, like, it's just, like, it's really weird.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Should we talk about Boardwalk?
Any closing remarks on Breaking Bad?
I want the shit to hit. I'm excited for the shit to hit the fan. There are only two episodes left, and I'm sure we'll have a big episode blowout, full episode season blowout with Chris in the future.
Anything to say about my interpretation of that scene other than, he's a manipulator.
He's real smart.
No, you didn't have to say it. You weren't even listening to me.
All right.
Did you tell all of them that I was having an affair, too?
Well, now, Jesse, I don't think
not
you...
Not so gruff.
Well, Skylar, I...
I said not so gruff.
I'm trying.
Okay.
Skylar, I just don't know what to do with you right now. I feel like I'm in control. I need to be in control of this situation.
I bought those at the deli. I don't know what I was doing. Sorry. I was trying to be in the sky.
Sorry, I froze.
Yeah.
Should we just jump right into our next imitation, our next bit?
Okay. And you, at home, guess what show we're in. Oh, yeah, you kind of said. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Go.
Qualler. I'd like to talk about the show that we've been watching so much together lately.
Yeah, is that the show that you want to talk about? Is it a show on HBO?
Oh, yeah, it's a show on HBO. Sure, and it's good, and I like it a lot.
Well, let me tell you something, Bridget.
Hey, this guy over here.
He's busting my balls.
something
Al Capone.
Something Italian. Something else Irish. Something about Chicago. Atlantic City. Boardwalk Empire.
You know what? Can you do the Lucy Paz de la Huerta? The one who kind of sounds like a drugged up Lorraine Bracco. A young drugged up Lorraine Bracco.
The mom?
Wait, no, Lucy, who is Nucky's legit girlfriend.
I talk like this, and I got a vagina.
Nucky. I don't know why you love this Mrs. Schroeder so much.
What she got that I don't got.
That's
She always calls him Daddy, and I know that's like a thing, but it really creeps
me
out.
Come here, Daddy. I blogged about this on the Blogulator. Yeah, surprise, we blog sometimes.
What's up?
I'm not really sure.
Why would I
tell
read when I can listen?
Tell me what a blog is, Aaron Sorkin.
The text is dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
No, I blogged about how I finally started watching this show and realized the key to really falling into this show is to realize that it's not The Sopranos and it's not intended to be The Sopranos.
Uh-huh.
And that's not the type of show it is.
Why
at
would
all.
You think that it would be The Sopranos?
Because, you know, because it's kind of marketed like The Sopranos, and Martin Scorsese was involved, and even the pilot was very. It feels very like Sopranos like in that more of. In the pilot's
Steve
focus.
Buscemi.
Yeah, the pilot's focus is a lot more on the, like, the action, bootlegging, shooting people kind of stuff. But, like, the actual series as it goes on is... I read somewhere, I'm sorry, I don't remember who said it, but...
A great man?
A great man or woman.
Ooh.
Said that it was very much like a chamber drama.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that regard, it actually reminds me of, a Downton Abbey, but with more shooting and boobs.
Boobies.
Yeah. And I
love old clothes and boobs. Is
yeah,
that weird?
It's a great combination.
It's a killer combination.
I really, really, really like Kelly MacDonald as Mrs. Schroeder.
Mm-hmm.
I really like her character. I really like Kelly MacDonald as an actress. I really like her voice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little crush on her. I'm not gonna lie.
That's fine. I have a crush on...
on Steve Buscemi.
No. None of them.
On Michael Pitt?
No.
On
you.
Al Capone?
No, he's short.
On,
which one's Michael Pitt? Is that the poor man's
that's
Leonardo
Jimmy,
DiCaprio?
Jimmy
yeah.
Darmody on the show. Yeah. Poor man's Leo.
I call him my friend from the movie Silly Games.
She means Funny Games,
oh,
but yeah.
Funny
Games. I just call him Henry.
Henry from season 3 of Indiana Jones? I mean,
Dust Creek. Yeah.
Is that right?
Jen Lindley's super emo boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Who also played football for some reason.
Right. Who rocked at football.
He was so good.
I call him my friend from my favorite movie, Murder by Numbers.
Oh, good reference.
You may remember a little film.
So we're 8 episodes into season 1. There are 12 episodes overall in season 1.
Mm-hmm.
Our plan is to catch up in time for the season 3 premiere. I think it's September 23rd, I think. So we have time
mm-hmm.
to catch up. I think we'll catch up. We also have to catch up to Treme, which that reminds me, we also have to catch up to Treme.
I feel so like
no, don't even don't no.
Don't cut me off.
No.
You're mean. You're mean tonight, as always. Ladies and germs. Here, I'll be the entertainer guy.
Okay.
Ladies and germs, you see what I have to put up with here? My husband. Oh, why does he treat me so bad? If you haven't seen Boardwalk Empire, then that was really weird. But
yeah.
There's that
guy.
That
was a great imitation.
Thank you. Oh.
Let me tell you something about my wife.
I like women.
Take my wife.
Who
please.
Are fat or something like that. And it's a silly song.
She knows how to make someone.
I really like that fellow. That's my favorite character. He's kind of gone away.
Yeah. I like the guy who wears the mask. He's scary.
I don't like him because he's scary.
Oh.
I like the guy, the creepy, creepy FBI agent.
Agent Van Alden. Nelson Van Alden. Yeah, the last episode we watched is episode 8, and we learned a little something about his home life.
Yeah.
A little more detail, and it's real sad.
It was a lot like every dinner we've ever had.
Yeah, every dinner that we've ever had starts with me saying,
long prayer.
I always start with a really, really long prayer.
In old-timey
language. And then I say, the flowers are looking dead.
And then I start crying.
And then you start crying. And then I just say, really coldly, I just say, please stop crying. And then...
Eat your dinner.
Eat your dinner. And then you start crying and talking about how you can't conceive.
I can't give you a son.
You can't give me a son. And then I start talking about how it's God's plan to not give us a son. And you bring up a surgery that's available. Here's another thing I like about the show, not to interrupt myself, but old-timey medicine. I love old-timey medicine. Yeah. And like,
I love old-timey medicine because I don't have to have it happen to me.
Like when the doctor was doing the really painful stuff on Lucky Luciano's dick.
Yeah, that looked horrible.
Yeah.
And when Mrs. Schroeder was like in the hospital, and it seems like the solution to everything is just to go the hospital, which is just like a horrible like dormitory with as many like small white beds in a row as can fit, and they just like lay there.
Right.
So it's like, oh, you were
maybe with some gauze.
Maybe with some, maybe a little, if we can afford some, if we could spare some gauze.
Right.
With the war and everything, but when she's in the hospital after being beaten up by her husband early in the season, the late Mr. Schroeder, and losing the baby, it's like, how are you treating her? Because then all the scenes, she's just sitting in the hospital bed. I'm in the hospital. There's so much to like talk about with this show. It's so good, and I was so quietly resistant to watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was not excited about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think we watched the pilot when it first aired,
mm-hmm.
and I was, like, not excited about it at all.
Right.
And it's now becoming my current obsession, like, the show that I want to watch episode after.
Yeah.
Like, every time we finish an episode, I want to watch another one. I really like this era. It reminds me a lot of the film Newsies.
Mm-hmm.
Throw a little Christian Bale in there, and you've got...
I think I really like the 20s more than I like the Mad Men 60s. Because I think the 20s are a little maybe classier in a way.
What?
Because they wear a lot more like tuxedos. Because
women couldn't vote,
so I like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding, guys.
Oh, there are a lot
it's
of...
It's a good
like,
era.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the book Carter Beats the Devil, which I really like, because they're talking about Warren Harding, who... Spoiler alert, it's not a spoiler, because it's history. He becomes president.
Qualler loves presidents.
I do. I have an app on my phone called U.S. Presidents.
And all it does is play Stars and Stripes Forever.
Yep.
And show pictures of all the presidents. And it's a thing that you should do.
It's awesome.
I like the period that I've made. I think that was something that I didn't think I would like.
Mm.
So maybe what it's a testament to is just that it's a good show. It's, and that despite me not really being that into watching a show, because I don't know, I was like, oh, the Roaring Twenties again. Although I can't actually think of any other show that I've ever
other
seen
than
that
movie
takes
Newsies.
Takes place. Newsies is actually the late 1800s.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
I think 1890s. I don't know. Whatever. New York. I like it because there are lots of Irish people, and so Fowler is finally learning a little something.
I'm learning
about
your people.
People.
There is no Norwegian history other than Eric Northman from True Blood.
You mean on HBO?
Like, on TV in general.
What about that one where that mafia guy has to go live in Norway?
Oh. Which is on Netflix.
What's it called? Lilyhammer.
Lilyhammer.
Lilyhammer. If you haven't seen it yet, my parents love it.
Yeah. And it's available on Netflix Instant.
Which is one of our sponsors.
Yes, they are.
Netflix.
You can go to bit.ly/blogflix.
Can you spell that?
bit.ly / blogflix.
F-L-I-X.
To get your free 2-week trial membership to Netflix. After that, it's $8 a month. And subscribing via that link also financially supports independent netcasters such as Fancy Bands Gangsters.
Yes.
So that was...
not such as. Well, yeah.
Definitely including and up to and including Vance Band Skankers.
Yeah. When you said that, you kind of went into a radio voice.
Yeah. I know. It wasn't natural. What?
I don't know.
What? I did get a gold medal at the radio speaking competition.
Wow, there
when
you
I
know.
Was in high school.
I got a gold medal. I got a gold medal something something joke about a woman. Oh, I like to sing a song. I'm going to get into that.
That's good. I like
Thanks.
It.
I'm going to do that at parties now. And all the people will gather around and drink their liquor and I'll be in the middle and...
Your face will be totally painted white like a mime.
It'll be really scary, but with circles around my
You'll
cheeks.
Make a lot of like, did I say that? I can't even do the voice.
Oh,
did I say that? Oh, shucks.
Take my wife, please. And it's like it was the first time that anyone made that joke, and they laughed. Right. I think that's what I like about old-timey stuff.
Yeah.
And there are women named things like Pearl, and they're, like, young, beautiful prostitutes. Not like your, you know, grandma's friend who makes the really good eclairs.
Right, exactly. So, all in all, Boardwalk Empire is not boring to walk Empire.
I was born... No, I'm sorry. We liked it a lot.
It's good.
Do we have anything more, like, specific to say?
I don't... I think I have anything more specific until we finish. I think maybe we should check back in after we finish season two.
Oh, okay.
And do
okay.
kind of a season two wrap up, talk a little bit about what happened in season
one. I'd
like that. And then preview season three.
I'd like that a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
One last thing I want to point out about what I like, and Alan Sepinwall pointed this out on his blog at hitfix.com. Is the monologues that seem to be like kind of a structured thing in each episode. Somebody always delivers like some kind of monologue, and it's starting with the episode where Chalky White, played by Michael K. Williams, delivers that
he's great.
Unbelievably awesome monologue about these
don't
are my
do
daddy's
it.
Tools.
Yeah, don't do
I'm not gonna do that. So like that happened, and then we had I don't know, what else? Jimmy was talking to the scary mask guy about his war scars, and it's like a really cool, like a really calming way to learn about the characters that doesn't feel like it's shoehorned.
Yeah.
And the one last thing I like about the show is it's really, really soothing in a weird way. And
yeah.
Like the ads for the show do not...
They make it look really exciting.
They make it look like
an action
stuff's happening, but it's actually really like a very, very deliberately paced show.
Yeah. Just because you brought up a comparison like The Sopranos and Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
I feel like at least at this point in season one, about halfway through season one? Is that where we
Eight
are?
Eight episodes out of 12.
Out of 12, okay.
Yeah.
Nookie's character doesn't seem very much at all like Tony Soprano, even though they kind of are playing similar parts to their...
Nookie Thompson is a much, much, much better person.
That's what it seems like now.
But it's...
I wonder if we're gonna... Because with Tony Soprano, like, you know from the get-go... You start knowing that he's kind of a horrible sociopath, and you work backwards to kind of...
Right.
To know him is to love him. And with Nookie Thompson, it, like, we don't really... It almost seems, like, more organic in the sense of, like, we, the viewers, are a little bit like Margaret Schroeder.
Right.
Where we're kind... We know that he's involved in stuff.
Yes.
We know more than she does, but we really haven't seen him do anything all that horrible. I mean,
right.
We know that he's kind of...
We know that he's...
Got his hands in a lot of pockets.
Yeah, and we know that he's
Is that
scarred.
An expression?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's got hands in people's pockets. Yeah.
Got my hands in your pocket, and he said, whoa! How about a nice howdy-do?
That's good.
Sorry.
how do I top that?
I don't know.
I can't.
No, so I think it's interesting because I'm wondering, like, how are we going to feel about Nookie Thompson by the end of season one and then again by the end of season two? Like, is he still going to seem like, even though he's the head of, I don't know if you'd, like, call it the mafia, but he's, like, the kingpin to, like, organize crime in Atlantic City and is, like, running Atlantic City.
At this point, it's almost like it's somewhat unintentional that he's doing it, because
he seems like a reluctant mobster.
Because he's really, ultimately, he's a politician. He's a, like, the county treasurer, or the treasurer of Atlantic City, and that's just, in a way, it's kind of like, this is his business because that's his job, and that just happens to be where his particular business is going. Like, when I'm a treasurer of something, I'm definitely not dealing with any mafia stuff, like, in my life.
Right.
But, like, if I were in the 20s and I were living at Atlantic City, I'd probably have to deal with the same thing.
But I like that we're, like, learning piece by piece.
Yeah.
About, like, his childhood and, like, his family, and, like, there are similarities there to Tony Soprano, so he had the horrible mother.
That's true.
It seems like Nookie has the abusive, controlling father.
Yeah.
That he's still not over. So his father is now like a feeble old man, and he's still hates him.
That's true.
Hates him so much that he burned the house down because it's so filled with bad memories.
That was
right?
a great ending that was a, to that. Yeah. So that was
it was
fantastic.
Really good. And
which again, that was a thing in the promos. It made it seem like there's an explosion, but it was actually a really like bittersweet. Like, scene.
Yeah. But I feel like in terms of, like, Nookie just as a character and how, what kind of a person is he really? Like, we don't really see it. We see him actually wanting to open up to Margaret Schroeder.
Yeah. But he and, like, seems like he doesn't really know how to.
But he seems less, I mean, he seems like there's something in him that really does, like, care about her.
Yeah.
As opposed to Tony with, like, I never got the sense that he cared about any of the women he was with.
Yes.
It seems like he...
And that's...
I don't know.
That's why, on the surface, the two shows are similar in that they both deal with kind of mafia types of things, and that there are similar people. You know, Terrence Winter, who's the executive producer, was a writer in The Sopranos. On the surface, they're very similar, but The Sopranos is really ultimately about, like, how horrible Americans are and, like, how, like, idiot suburbanites.
No, I think it's about the mafia.
Well, shut up.
I think it's about the terrors of intimacy.
Right, like,
which is kind of what Boardwalk Empire is about as well.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where Nookie as a character is going to go, because even though he's arguably the central character, and we kind of had a disagreement about this, because I really, one thing that I do not like about Boardwalk Empire at all is the opening credits. I think I don't like the choice of music for the show.
Yeah, it doesn't
I don't
fit
like
the rest of the show.
But I thought you were saying how much you liked it.
I do like it, but the more I think about it, the musical score that the rest of the show has is very much of the period.
Uh-huh.
And so it's the kind of like rockin' aspect of the...
This morning.
Yeah. Like the...
And it's... See, it's too, like, Nookie central? Centric? So he's, I guess, arguably the main character. He's the biggest star involved.
Right.
Right? I mean, so he's going to be showcased. But the credits...
Like,
it's really more of an ensemble cast at this point than I think The Sopranos was in its first season. Is that fair? Or am I misremembering The Sopranos?
Well, I mean, if you think about, if you want to compare apples to apples, Nookie is Tony Soprano.
Right.
Margaret Schroeder is kind of Carmella. Not really, though. Jiminy Darmody is definitely Michael, or not, Christopher.
Christopher. Yeah, I mean, you can't really compare it like that, because it's not like this is a Sopranos reboot. And I'm not trying to do that, but I do feel like, again, because you brought it up, and because mafia shows on HBO are going to be compared to one another.
They are.
But, yeah, this does seem a lot less like it's a show about the mafia and more like it's a show about what was happening in America in the 20s.
Yeah, and that...
Which, I guess, ultimately, yeah, The Sopranos is really about what's happening in America today.
Right.
So you could make the argument that they're both sort of, like, reflections or, you know, kind of about, like, American, like, culture and greed and capitalism, right? So they're so they both have a lot of similar underlying themes, yeah, I don't know. Maybe just by virtue of being set in the 20s, it's easier to step back and be like, this is about what's happening in all of America in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's harder to do that with something that's set today as a viewer. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but... Yeah. So I guess the creepy FBI agent would be Dr. Malfi.
or the FBI that is in The Sopranos.
Yeah, but they're not a very big character.
Yeah, that's true.
Alright. So, Boardwalk Empire. We like it! So now just a little bit of comfort food.
What's your comfort food?
CBS Sunday Morning.
Yeah? Tell me about it.
What I like the best about CBS Sunday Morning is when they just show scenes from nature. What do they call that? Do they just call it, like,
I don't think they call it something.
I thought they and it's, like, at the end of a segment, and they'll just show, like, a couple minutes of, like, a shot with, like, no music or anything of, like, an otter doing stuff. Or, like, some birds.
Yeah.
Or even just, like, it seems like they randomly placed a camera in the woods.
Right.
And, like, if a bird happens to fly into the shot, good for the bird, but they weren't setting out to film the birds, necessarily. So, I don't know. I love it.
It's
I love
a good it show.
So much. I liked this week that they did a story about Rufus Wainwright.
Right.
And I like how much I'm not the target audience for this show.
Yeah. It's great because the interview from this week with Rufus Wainwright, was, the interviewer was asking questions like, you really put yourself out there. Do you ever regret that?
Yeah. You have never apologized for being gay. Is that a thing? They didn't actually come right out and say that, but there are a lot of... The wording was really like, so you are just really comfortable...
And it's never, like...
As a person who is gay, and that's fine.
It's never in a hateful way. It's just in a, like, that's how the older generation, the baby boomers, if you will, seem to interact with things like homosexuality.
They're just like, they're still like...
Well,
like
that's just great for you. Don't you ever feel like that's probably bad?
No, and you shouldn't.
You shouldn't, because that... We certainly don't think that.
No, but it's
And we just think we're so proud. We heard about our neighbor whose son was gay, and that was just so sad.
But you know, he's just he's a nice
he's
a real
one of
nice
God's
guy.
Children, and he is a real nice guy. And you know what? Okay.
Yeah,
we're
sorry,
just
but it was a really weird interview with Rufus Wainwright, and I thought it was cool because it was obviously reaching a lot of people who I'm guessing were not like already Rufus Wainwright fans.
Right.
Because it was also like there's this artist named Rufus Wainwright.
Right.
And
he sings songs.
Oh, what a nice young man. And then there was also an interview with Alex Trebek
that didn't tell
us anything at all about Alex Trebek. and like, mentioned that he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
But it was pretty much like, that's what I know now. And then he had a heart attack, but he's fine now.
He's okay.
And what he really likes to do is tinker in his garage. Let's look at all his bolts and tinkering things he has in his garage.
I think I missed that story. But when I came back home, I asked you what's new with Alex Trebek, because I wanted to know what happened to his heart attack, and apparently the answer is nothing.
But you don't, that's the thing about these interviews on CBS Sunday Morning, you're not going to learn anything from them.
Right.
These interviews are for people who maybe haven't heard about anything. I don't know who they're for. Me, I guess, because I watch it every week, and I like it.
Right.
And it's really peaceful, and it's like...
It's a good show.
It's like someone saying, you know what, you've had a whole week of news.
Right.
And now it's just time for some pictures of a fox and maybe a nice interview with a nice man or two. And we don't have to go into anything heavy. And I always feel like the interviewer is like, so Alex Trebek, like, so did you set out to become a game show host? Oh, well, no. I mean, no one really sets out to become a game show host. Oh, no. So I always feel like during these interviews, the interviewer has, like...
They get shamed. They feel shamed.
A little bit. Like, they have a...
like, I maybe shouldn't have asked that question.
Right.
I just feel really low now.
I just... Sorry, that was... Maybe I was prying. I didn't mean to pry into your...
That maybe wasn't the best question.
That was... Let's move on. Let's just go for a nice walk in your neighborhood.
Yeah, have you seen that fox? You know, that pesky little fox keeps coming into our yard.
Can we go back to a shot of that fox? Oh, it's just so... And it's like, when I'm talking about it and thinking about it right now, all I hear are the sounds of, like, birds chirping and leaves rustling.
Right.
Like, that's always the soundtrack.
Right.
And the graphics are from, like, the 80s, and we don't care.
It's great.
We don't care. It's great. If you're not spending some amount of time watching CBS Sunday morning...
You probably should.
You should be. When does it start? Like, 9?
9 to 10:30 a.m. on Sundays on
That's
CBS.
Perfect, because I've come in from my walk or run, and I'm, you know, I'm ready for some coffee.
I'm sorry, it's 8:30 to 10, not 9 to 10:30.
8:30 to 10.
8:30 a.m. to 10.
Then what do we watch from 10 to 10:30?
Nothing.
Is there just
the second half hour of Almanac on TPT,
Minnesota,
which is
Almanac.
Right.
That's pretty good. Yeah. So then at 10:30 we watch the McLaughlin Group.
Yep.
Which is our other comfort food.
It's great. Yep. The question is, do we go into our McLaughlin Group bit or do we not?
I guess we don't.
I guess SNL's already done that.
I know,
so.
But we're as funny as Dana Carvey.
You know what? I imitated Dana Carvey imitating George Bush as a kid for my grandpa's 80th birthday. It's on video. And
I feel like
I should post that online.
Now I feel like this is becoming a CBS Sunday morning run.
Yeah, kind of.
Vlogulator Radio, because we're just talking about some pleasant...
Yeah.
And there's some bird chirping. Can we get some bird noises?
Can we cut to that scene
of the lake again? That shot of the lake?
I'll try to throw...
That's real nice.
Post-production, we'll throw some.
That's a nice shot of the lake.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Mm.
Yep. Yeah.
It's
nice.
That's right.
So, yeah, McLaughlin Group, but we do enjoy doing our impressions of Eleanor and Pat Buchanan, Mort Zuckerman.
Yeah.
No. Well, what else? What do you like? What's comfort for you to do on the weekends or whenever?
I have enjoyed the new season of HBO's Hard Knocks training camp with the Miami Dolphins.
It's about football, but it's not horrible.
The only season of the show that didn't make me love the team afterwards was the one with the New York Jets, because Rex Ryan is just such a tool. And come on, the Jets, they suck. They have Tim Tebow now. But this isn't a sports podcast. I don't know. I feel like HBO does a really good job of telling us, making training camp really compelling, which we went to training camp with the Minnesota Vikings, and it's not compelling, you guys. It's really not very interesting to watch, although it's really fun to go to because you're close to the players in real life.
You can touch them.
You
can't touch them.
It's amazing what a good job they do in creating a narrative, and, I think...
Even I cared about that, like, rookie who was drafted and then got sent home right away.
Yeah, that was
the
opening
scene. They made me care about
scene.
That.
Yeah.
That was sad for me.
Last week's...
He seemed like a nice boy.
He did. Last week's episode featured Joe Philbin, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, cutting Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco. And it amazingly made me feel sympathetic for Ocho Cinco, which I hate him so much... Because he's so annoying. But it made me feel like, wow, you know what? Maybe he's actually not such a bad guy.
Maybe we're all just maybe, people.
And you know what else it did? I'm a hardcore Vikings fan, which means I'm supposed to totally hate the Packers. But I learned that Joe Philbin was the Packers' offensive coordinator. And he's, you know what? Joe Philbin is a really, seems like a really good stand-up guy.
Yeah. I'd like to go maybe take a look in his garage and have him show me what kinds of, like, projects he likes to do on the weekends.
I bet he does some great projects.
And then I'd like to walk kind of slow with him through his yard while he tells me some stories about himself. And then I'd really like to just sit with him and just have a look at a lake.
Mm, that'd be nice.
And he wouldn't even have to say anything. That just kind of nice. Just have a look.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, we've gone from Breaking Bad to a surprisingly soothing Boardwalk Empire to the most soothing of all, CBS Sunday Morning, and
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. Because Hard Knocks is, I'm not a football fan really, but it is a really soothing thing to watch.
And it's the kind of show that you can,
because they don't do a lot of fancy cuts. There's no music, like, telling you how to feel.
Right, and you don't have to, music. You can drop in at any point and leave whenever you want.
Thinks it knows how I should feel.
Right. It's not, obviously, it's not, like, super plot-heavy.
No.
But it has...
But sometimes...
It makes you care about the players who are on the fringe of making a team and not making a team. And
what do you think that Hard Knocks would be like if it were purchased and then, like, reproduced and aired on MTV?
Oh. Well, it depends on what era of MTV, because I feel like Teen Mom, if you're talking, if it was like Snooki and JWoww.
Like now, MTV. I feel like there'd be like a lot of like music, and like you wouldn't be able to hear any of the dialogue.
Well, remember the show Two-A-Days?
Yeah.
On MTV? It'd probably be like that. But worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad it's on HBO.
I don't care.
Oh.
I love it.
Speaking of,
I don't care.
What's the term?
Horrible things?
Cognitive dissonance. Awkward followed by, Snooki and JWoww followed by Awkward.
So you know we watch Awkward, which we don't have time to get into now, but right. I would say it's another comfort food for us.
It's a great show.
But, also,
very good.
Very good.
Maybe not great, but very good.
Very good. And we tape it, which I guess you don't say anymore because you're not using tape. You're using one of them DVRs.
Right.
And
can you tell me more about what? How do you get that thing to work, Bridget?
My grandkids show me. I can't even.
Oh, okay.
I can't do it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm assuming we don't have a lot of older people listening, but if we just lost our audience,
yeah.
Sorry, Grandma. That was a really sad thing to say. I wish our parents would listen. This is us acting out on purpose because we know that they're not going to listen. And we don't want them
We actually have a podcast where we talk about TV.
We don't want you to listen anyway,
Mom and
Dad.
And you can listen if you want.
Because we hate baby boomers.
I know you said it was kind of too long last time you listened to it.
We hate you.
But that's fine.
That's fine. What was I saying? Oh, so we watch Awkward, but we always catch the last, like, 2 minutes of Snooki and JWoww, and it's so horrible. It's so horrible that I don't even like watching it as we fast forward through it.
It
makes my stomach hurt.
It makes me really appreciate Pauly D and the situation.
It makes me miss, like,
dudes.
All the really level-headed
right.
Fellas on the
Jersey
Shore.
Because when it's just Snooki and JWoww like yelling at each other.
Yeah, it makes me miss Pauly D.
It makes me miss like
Vinny.
The fun that Pauly D and Vinny bring
right.
to the table.
Can we just have fun?
Like, oh, it's the worst show ever.
It's pretty horrible.
It's the worst.
I think that's it.
I think we've rambled
for way too long.
Watch some BW.
Yeah, we're gonna watch some Boardwalk Empire and then fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to do. thanks for listening once again.
Where can you find us on the interwebs?
I don't know.
Well, you can find Blogulator Radio on Twitter at Blogulator Radio. You can find the Blogulator at theblogulator.com or on Twitter at theblogulator. You can check out other shows like on Fancy Pants Cancer's Netcast Network. The show The Voice Within, which is a new show on the network, is featuring this week.
The Voice Behind, it's called.
I'm sorry. The Voice Behind.
Dick.
Wow. Yeah. Everyone's going to fire me, guys.
The Voice Behind, it's featuring Nicholas Briggs, who is the voice of Daleks on Doctor Who. I've never seen Doctor Who, even though I'm supposedly a TV expert. I've been called an expert. Some call me that.
And you just kept exchanging emails with Evan over and over about saying, what's Doctor Who about?
Is it about
And I kept telling you just to leave it alone because it's...
Qualler said I was being a dick. I wasn't trying to be a dick. I actually do wonder what it's about because a lot of people that I love watch it and really like it. But it seems like the kind of show that you can't even, like, talk about with someone if they've never seen it.
Right.
Because it's, like, all, like, kind of crazy stuff is happening. But
yeah, right.
It's probably on Netflix.
Yeah, I think it is, actually.
Our sponsor.
I think it is.
But if you are a better person than us and you have seen Doctor Who, tune into.
He is a guest on
The Voice Behind.
The Voice Behind, which is a new show
on the Fancy Pantsers. That was like the worst. We did that horribly.
Yeah.
This is going to be my audition tape for CBS Sunday Morning.
Ooh. I would probably not put this episode in our portfolio.
Really? I think they'd be like, this person really knows how to draw out a story and just talk.
Kind of one of my weaker episodes, I'm not going to lie.
You think so? I would give myself an A+.
You did a good job.
I kind of had to carry it. That's
you did.
Okay.
You did.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
So you can find back to what finding us on the internet.
Is there
you can
a carbon
find me
monoxide
at Mark Qualler, MarquallER on Twitter. You can find Chris Polly at QHRIZ Polly POLLEY and check us all out.
You can find me.
You can find Bridget at Best Bridget BRIGITTE.
And maybe someday I'll tweet again.
Maybe.
Hashtag maybe.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's it.
So, from all of us, all of you. Was that where you were going?
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Okay, let's try again. From all of us.
To all of you.
Our opinions are valid.